GC, thank you so much for that reading. We have a few minutes for a short Q&A. Does anyone have a question? And if you have a question, speak into the mic so it gets onto the recording.
Which will only make everyone more self-conscious, yeah. but mm-hmm. that's fine. I'm here. I'm live. Ask me about lichens. Medieval theology. Yeah.
Thank you for that reading. It was lovely. I was wondering, when you were working collaboratively with John, what happened to the poems that you were writing by yourself? Were there any poems? Not to separate them, but I was just curious what happened to that process in that place with yourself.
Well, like most of us who teach, I mean, there are some people who can write poetry while they teach. In Joshua's case, he doesn't really write poetry while he teaches. He teaches while writing poetry, which is beautiful and different. I was discovering I couldn't write much while teaching, and it was really painful. All of my energy, psychic energy, was being drawn to my students, which sounds beautiful until you're in that position. And then you feel like there's some kind of something vampiric happening in the world that you have no control over. And John felt the same way. So, you know, in some ways the project was we told everyone we weren't writing. I mean, because in the sense of writing our own work and our usual process, we weren't writing. We weren't writing anything. I think I wrote maybe 8 poems of my own in that 16 months that were separate from this. It almost felt like not writing. Most poets either write early in the morning or late at night, the studies show, and apparently there's sound neurological reason for this. It has to do with chemicals in the brain and something else. But I'm a night writer. I write from 9 to 1, 9 to 2 usually, and he's an early morning writer. And so we switched it up. He would come home from work, children, 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 wife, 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 bed. And then he would read what was on the computer from me, and he would write back. And I would wake up in the morning, coffee, coffee, coffee. And you know, and then I would read his poems and write back. And because it wasn't the way we normally did it, I actually don't have a lot of memory of writing some of mine. When we were revising, which was much harder than the actual writing, there was one time that I really kept pushing against one poem, and I wanted to make changes in it, and then I really wanted it out, and he kept saying, okay, okay. And I said, well, you're really not defending this poem. He said, dude, quote unquote, why would I defend it? It's your poem. If you don't want it, chuck it. And I didn't remember that it was my poem. So the answer is we didn't write much else, but we wouldn't have anyway. We would have just felt cruddy about not writing. And this way, you know, something was happening almost without any effort. The hardest thing for an artist or a poet is to make up something new out of whole cloth. You all know that. Most of you have experienced what it's like to stare at a blank sheet of paper and think, you know, I'm going aphasic, I have no talent, I have no imagination, I should be working for the Postal Service. You know, you think these things, and apologies to anyone who's working for the Postal Service. Put the gun down. But I didn't have to during this time, because every time I'd have another poem, and all I had to do was write a response to that poem. And that was also very beautiful, to keep that chain of art going in a way that was sustaining, not having to start over again.
But not writing separately.
I don't think we did much writing separately. I mean, again, I know I did almost none. And I don't think he did much either. Another question?
You mentioned rules when you were collaborating.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, did you start with a set of rules, mm-hmm. or did they just come about naturally? And how many did you end up having?
Well, they came and went, because John and I share a quality. We don't share many qualities, but we're poets. We're men. Of a certain age, we're in our 40s, but we're easily bored with our own work and with other people's too. So we changed them up. Now, originally the way this started is John, as a gesture of wanting to be friendlier with me, he was sending emails to me talking about poetics, talking about, you know, in a prose, in a reasonable way, about how and why we do what we do. Well, I had just had a friendship that self-destructed with another poet because our conversations about poetics went to a place where she didn't want it to go. So I was not about to answer these emails. I was like, no, I want you to please stay my friend. And so I didn't do that. So I started writing back poems and answers to his emails about poetics. And then he got really profoundly annoyed, and he wrote some poems back to those poems, and we did that for about a week or so in annoyance with each other. And then suddenly he said, you know, should we do this? And I had just come off of two or three also failed collaborations. I had wanted to collaborate with another poet, but just because you're friends with someone doesn't mean you work the same way with them artistically, and those collaborations had all failed for different reasons. And so this time it didn't fail. But the rules just came, you know, we would every now and then we would suggest one to each other, and then we would do it for a while. The rules were sort of made up as we went along. We were already doing the thing with the words in the title, almost rule-like, before we decided, hey, look what we're doing. Let's make it a rule for a little while until we're bored with that.
Can I ask what you're working on now?
What am I working on now? I don't really know. I was in the process of writing a book when the collaboration interrupted, and going back to that was really hard because I was almost 2 years older and had all these other experiences. So I finished that book, which may actually be two books, in August. And sent it off to my publisher and have no idea what they think. I had a residency at the McDowell Colony in July and August and spent a lot of time thinking about lichens and reading the work of Gennady Aigi, the Russian poet, and R.S. Thomas, who's a Welsh poet, and writing really short poems that I think are homages to them. I don't know what they're, you know, as I told that Penn State grad student, I don't know what they're doing yet, but I'll need some years to figure that out.
Okay, one more question.
Where or what do you draw most of your inspiration to, like, write from?
I wish I could say my dreams. My dreams are really boring. They're mostly like being trapped in a doctor's office waiting room for years. Scraps of language I overhear a lot of the time. Little scraps of language. Eavesdropping. A few words here and there that have a shine to them. Yeah. That's usually where I get things from. And I just start playing around with them, and they suggest something else, and then we go from there. The language is, you know, it's older than we are, and it's bigger than we are, and it's smarter than we are. And sometimes you can do worse than trust the language to show you where to go, has been my experience. It's a hard one to learn. Thank you all again.
Thank you all for coming. Stick around, buy some books, get them signed, and you can actually check our spring reading series on our website. We've published it. Thanks.